This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being here with us. First 2 hours have flown by. Which means the next 2 hours are going to drag. I don't think they will. We got Kyle Glazer coming on at 8:35, the newest member of the Baseball Writers of America. He gets a Hall of Fame vote, so he's got that burden he has to carry around with him now, and we'll ask him about that. It's so fascinating.
With great power comes great responsibility.
That's exactly right.
Remember that Tom Verducci video? When he talked about walking everybody through his ballot, and there was like a slow piano playing.
That was amazing.
He's like, I can try to find it. I'm sure I can find it. He's like... I remember you did a parody of it.
I did a parody of it.
I got to go find this.
Find it. It was so good. Now, I don't think Kyle's going to do anything like that, but it was like, all right, Tom, relax, buddy. You didn't find the cure for cancer here, man. You're just voting for the Hall of Fame. Though it is a great responsibility, one that I would take seriously, but I would agonize over, to be sure. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
We've had a little breaking news every hour on the program.
Yeah.
I will throw in the 8 a.m. breaking news from the world of baseball. Jeff Passan tweeting, the Boston Red Sox are in agreement on a one-year, $10.75 million contract with left-handed reliever Aroldis Chapman, pending a physical. Boston seeking help for its bullpen from the left side. The 36-year-old Chapman fits the bill.
Still the creepiest video I've ever seen in my whole life.
Aroldis and his mom?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does it get any creepier than that?
It was uncomfortable.
Yeah. Say the least. Yeah. I love my mom too. Yeah, it was his mom.
I thought it was like his aunt.
No,
or his grandmother.
It was his mother.
Yeah.
He went going to second base.
Feeling her up.
Yeah. Went to second base with his mom on the couch.
On camera.
On camera. And it was out there.
Different cultures, whatever, you know.
Okay.
It's fine.
It's fine. Whatever. It's still the most uncomfortable video I've ever seen.
Right. And not even nearly the most problematic thing about Aroldis Chapman.
Correct. Correct.
That somehow he's
That's like fourth on the list, I think, of the things that he's done. It's like, oh my God.
But he's left-handed and throws the ball extremely hard, which means there is always a spot for him in Major League Baseball.
It's incredible. Incredible. Well, good pickup for the Red Sox. Again, they're showing that they're going to spend some money. And
or are they showing that they know Juan Soto's not going to pick them, so they're going to start spending their money elsewhere?
Everyone is doing that. If your team signs somebody, like, well, I guess we're out on Roki. I saw Dodger fans yesterday really upset that they were in on some pitcher. And like, well, that means we're not getting Roki now. I'm like, no, it doesn't mean that. You guys will be fine. If you just remember, if you have a glut of starting pitching, a glut, and it, the Dodgers do right now, and some of it's dicey, right? But if you have a glut of starting pitchers and you get Roki Sasaki, you know what you can do with that glut of pitchers? You can move them to other teams that are desperate for starting pitchers. You guys know how this works. You could literally sign 24 pitchers in the offseason. Sign them. And then figure out who your best six are, and then trade the rest. You can't have too many of these commodities. So I don't think it takes anybody out of any deal. I think the Red Sox have money earmarked for Juan Soto as well. I don't think the $10 million bucks for Chapman is going to take them out of it.
Take them out of the other $630 million.
Well, you guys wanted Soto, but we gave you Chapman. You should be happy. All right? So...
It's great. Apples?
Now, the funny part about this, though, is that there are legions of Red Sox fans who have absolutely detested and loathed one Aroldis Chapman. And now, guess what? He's about to be their favorite player. I've always loved him.
We were talking last week about how many times the Yankees went and signed loathed Red Sox to their team.
Every year. Every single year. Oh, good. Jacoby Ellsbury is here. Oh, Johnny Damon's here with no beard. Kevin Youkilis looking good with no goatee. I mean, just a slew. All of them. The most hated guys. You're like, oh, great. Here we go again. I mean, it'd be like the Padres, like, hey, we just acquired Max Muncy and Will Smith. And we're like, oh, my God. The worst day of our lives. I wouldn't go to spring training. I would sit it out. Like, once he's not coming, I'm not going.
Padres do need a catcher.
Like, I'm not going.
Dodgers have a pretty good catching prospect as well, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe they're looking to move Will Smith.
Oh, can you imagine?
Will Smith.
So, yeah. Aroldis Chapman is now...
Dalton Rushing, the number 39 prospect in baseball.
He made it up a little
Dodgers
bit, too.
Dodgers' number one prospect, but blocked... by Will Smith. Maybe the Padres can trade for Dalton Rushing.
I heard they're going to move him to the outfield.
That's what they're looking to do. They started playing him in the outfield a little bit last year.
Yeah, that's right.
But he might be more valuable as a trade guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because teams obviously need catching. Yeah. I mean, we talked about that this morning. So they could be looking to move him as well.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, let's talk about the golden at-bat.
Okay.
So this came from a podcast. John Aurand, I believe, who is Sports Business Journal and has covered the business of sports for many years, had Rob Manfred on his podcast. I forget what the podcast name is, but Paulie had a clip.
In Between the Lines.
Just making that up.
He works for Puck.
Now he works for Puck. Yeah, he used to be Sports Business Journal. Now it's Puck.
The Varsity is the podcast.
The Varsity is the podcast. So, they're talking about the success of recent rule changes in Major League Baseball, like the pitch clock and the no shift and the bigger bases, and talked about what other potential rule changes could be at least discussed. And Rob Manfred brought up the golden at-bat.
Are there other changes that are brewing that are flying a little bit under the radar in the minors?
Planted question.
One of the best things about the success we had last year, both artistically in terms of the fan reaction, but maybe equally important, the success we had in predicting for the owners what the outcome was going to be, is that it makes people in the game more comfortable talking about change. You know, they have some confidence that you can manage the change process in a way that, you know, produces a good outcome. So, I mean, there are a variety of things that are being talked about out there. One of them, there was a little buzz around at an owner's meeting, was the idea of a golden at bat. That is, you know, putting your best player out there out of order at a particular point in the game. That rule and things like that are in the conversation only stage right now.
I don't even know what to say at this point.
You're troubled that they've even gotten to the conversation
only
stage.
I'm troubled
for the golden at bat.
I'm troubled that that's an actual thing that owners have decided. Hey, let's muddle this around. It feels to me like, because again, I know people were very reluctant to the big bases. The first time I saw the big bases, I mean, my chin hit my chest. I walked out to spring training field and I looked at it and I went, oh my God, I knew they were going to be big. I didn't know they were going to look like pizza boxes. I was blown away. But you know what? Stolen bases are up, safer, the whole thing. Then you start taking away the shift. You're like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. Then that pitch clock comes in. Now, again, we don't know the long-term ramifications on the pitch clock with pitchers, but I know guys were getting hurt. Guys were getting hurt before the pitch clock, too. I mean, Tommy John's have been going up and up and up and up and up for years.
Aesthetically, it's the best thing that's happened to baseball in a long time.
Unquestionably. Unquestionably the best moves that baseball could make. All of the old school people that were so against it now have even come to realize, oh, wow, this actually is like the baseball I grew up watching. There is more action. It's less, you know, three true outcomes. Ball's in play more, and the games are quicker. And so I think this is what happens, though. You hit on a couple of really good ideas, and you're like, what else can we do? What else? Like, how else can we change the game?
And you get that that little high.
You get that rush
of having a successful idea going. Now I need to find another one.
It's like you win $1,000 playing craps on Wednesday night. You're back down there Thursday. You're like, if I bet, I can make even more money. That really works out that way.
Fans,
this is
like
a dumb
home
idea.
Runs. What if we all use aluminum bats and just hit 600-foot home
yes.
runs, potentially kill people?
Yeah. It is. It doesn't make sense to me. And one of the best parts of sports, I saw this summed up pretty well, is, hey, man, sometimes it comes down to the fact that the bases are loaded in the ninth inning and you have your worst hitter up, right? It would really remove moments for guys that have had massive, massive moments, right? I mean, so...
Are they trying to lean into like how other sports, like in basketball, you can get the ball in the hands of your best player when the game's on the line.
Yes.
In football, you can throw to your best receiver when the game's on the line.
Well, you can if you have the ball.
The Chicago Bulls down one, 10 seconds left, and up, it's Horace Grant's turn to have the ball.
Right. The end of the Bill game. Cartwright with the final shot today. But the funny thing is like, even in, okay, if you want to talk about basketball, think about Steve Kerr's big shots. Think about John Paxson's big shot. It happens, right? Those moments live forever. And so it's not always Jordan making the final bucket. It's not. It's not. And so the fact that you're going to be like, all right, Shohei, you're up again. Like, it's just embarrassing for the sport. I hope it doesn't come to that. Look, will I adjust? Yes, I always do. I just don't think
tiny part of me that's going, you know what? F it. Let's get weird.
Someone in the chat called it moment chasing.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a good thing when a giant star comes up in a huge situation and
but you can't
they're facing a great
that.
Reliever. Well,
that's
they're
what
saying,
they're trying
they're saying that maybe you can
that's it.
Manufacture it a little bit more.
And Soto.
I think I read
Judge.
Somewhere the most watched baseball moment like in YouTube history was Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout at the end of the World Baseball Classic. You know, it happened organically. You didn't force it to happen, but it was a undoubtedly huge moment. And you can picture, I mean, you know, the strategy that would be involved because they haven't gotten to the point of when could you use it. Would it be any time during the game? Would it be late in the game? But even if it was an option to managers, knowing, hey, it's the bases loaded. It's the second inning. We can break this game open. Do we do it now? Or do we hold it until the bottom of the ninth in case we're down? I mean, the strategic implications would be insane. I wouldn't want to be a manager and have to decide on the golden at bat.
I spent like an hour trying to like process how this could even work yesterday when I started reading about this. And I'm like, okay, let's say you haven't used it yet. You got two outs, bottom of the ninth, and you know, you're at the bottom of your lineup. Tatis is your leadoff hitter, but he's on deck. You want to get him up, so you use your golden AB. He goes on, hits a double. It doesn't hit the game-winning home run. Then he's up to bat.
Then he's up to bat again? To
guy? I think you'd have a golden at-bat pinch runner who just goes in for the...
Just back-to-back ABs?
You just think about talking about the Dodgers. And, you know, it's bases loaded. You know, it's a one-run game, bottom of the ninth, one out, and Shohei comes up, and you strike him out. Guess who's coming up next?
Shohei.
again. Try it a second time with the golden at bat. It could create some weird situations.
So dumb.
If you sent someone up as the golden for the golden at bat and he hits a walk-off home run and you know, they celebrate and they pour the yellow Gatorade over them. That would be called a golden celebration.
Golden shower. Yeah, for the golden moment. I just, again, like somebody said in the chat, this isn't going to get new baseball fans. If you're not a fan of baseball, this isn't going to go, oh, that's going to make me a fan of baseball. I don't think.
Maybe. It's radical.
One time a game? Once? You're going to watch also, nine innings for it, one
you'd
time?
You'd have to have a couple of those huge moments happen, and then maybe...
I mean, it would also mess up the numbers. Shohei would likely get an extra 162 at-bats
yeah.
a year.
Yeah, Judge you know, would, too.
Instead of 600, he gets about 780 at-bats yeah. in the year. Yeah. So instead of, you know, 50 home runs, he hits 72 home runs.
Who's your golden shower hitter? Golden
for the Padres.
Golden
at bat hitter. Well, I mean, it's pitch. He'd probably pitcher dependent. If you still have the 3-batter minimum rule, and they've got a righty in there, then you're probably putting a lefty or something
it's
like that.
Tatis. Come on,
that would be the Padres'
and then
logical choice.
Somebody sulks because they didn't get selected as the golden hitter.
I mean,
so dumb, dude.
You know, if it could be situational, like Luis Arraez, if you just need a ball in
yeah,
play,
you need to get a hit.
He might be the best golden at bat choice, depending on you know the situation that you're looking for in that spot.
It does feel like it's crafted specifically for like
the Dodgers and the Yankees
and Soto. You know what I mean? Like, because Soto's getting on base. You're
the
like,
funniest
whether
he thing.
Throws a walk or hits the home run.
Somebody said, you want to make baseball interesting? Have the ceremonial first pitch person come in to close the ninth. Now that, hey, Danny DeVito is now in on the ninth inning to close out the game because he threw the ceremonial first pitch. Danny DeVito comes out for the ninth. Now that would make baseball interesting.
I think Paulie nailed it, though, when earlier he said, how is this different than just saying, well, let's use aluminum bats?
Right.
I mean, if you want to jack up offense and create, you know, more huge moments. What would be more exciting than a 680-foot home run with an aluminum
balls?
Bat?
I mean, how about lacrosse balls?
Every golf infielder balls. Is just like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore.
It's just the dumbest. It's just so dumb.
I guess since we're talking about it, Jason Stark wrote about it in The Athletic, and he gave a couple of scenarios of what this could look like. He said, each team gets to pick one at-bat at any point in the game, but only once to play its golden AB card. Would you save it for the Juan Soto moment? You know, the strategy. When do you use it? Then he said there's this option. Each team gets one golden AB per game, except only in the seventh inning or later.
Okay.
The other variation, this is the one that he would vote for. Only a team that is trailing or tied in the ninth or later gets to use their golden AB.
You're really making it complicated now.
And then he talks about, how about this? Say the Royals use their golden AB to let Bobby Witt Jr. lead off the ninth. He makes an out. Guess who's batting second? It's Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
It would be so weird.
I'm going to pass.
I'll pass.
I'm going to pass on the golden at bat.
Just end blackouts.
And
start
maybe,
there.
And maybe that was Rob Manfred's whole thing. Let's see what the reaction is. And it's been almost universally negative.
Yeah, somebody says, now you're punishing a team for winning a game late. I know. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
I don't like that
if
either.
It happens to come up where your stars come up in the ninth, you have to strategize for that.
I think you nailed it earlier. It's wild that this even like got out. Like that this became
why
an
idea. Why would he throw that out there?
And he threw this out there like 2 months ago, by the way. That podcast,
yeah.
that clip,
yeah.
was in October.
That's right.
And it just started getting written about yesterday. And everyone's like, wait, where did this come from?
Mm.
Very weird.
What are we doing?
We got Kyle Glacier coming up at 8:35. Oh, you mean like in a more general sense?
In a more general
sense. What are we
doing? Like what is happening to the game we all love? Leave it as it is. It's really good. You had record numbers last year. Record numbers. Record attendance, record
everything.
Yeah,
but they thought leave it as it is for 100 years.
They did.
It started getting a little stale.
Well, they changed it,
yeah.
the shifts and things like that, and they
I
changed
think
it back.
That was smart.
It was great. Man. Yeah, somebody said he's been watching John Boy Media's Warehouse Baseball too much and wants a game that looks more like that. Man, it is. It's tough. I'm gonna. That's a hard pass for me.
All right, we got Kyle Glazer coming up. He's got a Hall of Fame vote, which is a responsibility and an honor. Talk to him about that at the bottom of the hour here after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Damn it, the Aroldis Chapman picture was just tweeted into my feed. Now I've had to see it again.
You brought it up.
It's so disturbing. Like, I do that to my wife, but that's my wife. Would never do it to my mom.
Gross.
It's so gross.
She didn't seem to mind, though.
Which makes it even worse.
I think you're being judgmental.
Maybe. I don't want to live in a world where that's socially acceptable. Fondling your mother. I don't. Call me crazy. Whoa, Wood's on a soapbox again. All right, fine. I'll get on my soapbox. Wood's just judgmental. All right, fine. Call me whatever you want. I don't want to see a guy.
To each his own is what I'm saying.
No, absolutely not, bro. Adams is different cultures. Fine.
There's two different pictures. Two pictures. Him doing that. The one on the couch is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
It's just insane. It's, everyone's tweeting it now, tagging me in it, so that's great.
Just talking about potential rule changes and Rob Manfred's golden at-bat. Now, I have not heard that he has actually considered this one, but maybe he should. I saw this from our friend Bradford Doolittle from ESPN, who advocated to better give the division winners an advantage in the postseason. That instead of a ghost runner, that you give the team that is the third seed, the one that doesn't get the bye in the first round of the playoffs, the third division winner who has to play in the wild card series against the sixth seed, a ghost win to start their playoff series. So they're up 1-0 when the series starts.
So they won their division.
They won their division.
But they don't have the...
But they don't get the bye because they're not one of the top two division winners. So in order to even that out and at least give them something for winning their division, other than just home field advantage in the wild card round, because you don't even have to win your division to get home field advantage in the wild card round.
So
Padres had it against the Braves this year without winning their division.
Yeah. Who would it have been?
Milwaukee.
The Brewers.
Who ended up losing that series 2-1. But because... if they had had the ghost win, they would have gone forward because they only need to win one set of two games to advance. Force that last team to sneak into the playoffs have to win both games.
But what it does,
if they're going to advance.
I'm trying to think this out logically. I mean, giving somebody a win is weird to me. That's weird. You should have a benefit.
You can call it whatever you want.
That may be more egregious than the gold.
It might be. If Ben likes this one, I want to work this one through.
You can call it a ghost win or not, or you can just say, hey, one team needs to get to one win at the end of the series. The other would need to get to two to win the series.
So races, the central divisions suck, though. Yeah, okay, so then shouldn't they have a better record?
And get a bye.
And get a bye. That would behoove... I mean, obviously, you're trying to win as many games as you can. Everybody knows that. You want to get one of the top two so that you get a first-round bye. Now, if your team gets knocked out in the first round, which we have seen before, even if you had a bye, we did see the PP pants about that for you know certain teams. I won't name any names. I don't want to start a war with our friends up north. When it happened to them a couple times, we have to change the rules. We have to change the rules. This isn't fair. We won 111 games. We got beat by a wild card team. I kind of like settled on the field. I really do. If you're going to be dishing out wins and losses, I kind of like that. I like having to settle it.
I think ultimately,
You could go straight seeding, which is interesting.
You could do that. It's basketball does it more that way.
Yeah.
You know, winning a division like doesn't really give you anything. It ends up just being straight seeding 1 through 10.
But it does give playoffs. You. But it does give you. It gives you a bye. You still would get a bye
in baseball,
right?
Well, if you were in the first or second seed.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is what you have now. So
I think ultimately, you know.
But the reseed is a good idea.
If they head toward expansion and get to 32 teams and they're going to realign and have 4-team divisions. Now, that's another big change that would be coming. You know, is there going to be an American and a National League anymore in a few years?
Yeah, no kidding.
Or will there simply be a Western Conference and an Eastern Conference like in basketball, where you know you group teams more geographically as opposed to on traditional American and National League lines?
And see, realignment is chaos that I'm massively in favor of. That's chaos that doesn't affect, you know, yeah, you're going to lose maybe some rivalries or whatever, but I think you can get new rivalry spark all the time. So it doesn't really bother me. That kind of tradition, that's the chaos that I love. Don't mess with the product on the field by adding, you know, ghost runners and golden ABs and things like that. Mix it up a little bit. Move it around a little bit. Go a little bit more regional or whatever. I think that is fascinating stuff. And that like, when they started interleague play, I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. This is unbelievable. Now it's just old hat. So make some changes. Move teams around, and that's the chaos I'm here for. I love that stuff.
Anyway, we've got a baseball expert joining us next.
Yeah, we do.
Kyle Glazier from Baseball America is going to be with us. He's got a Hall of Fame vote. We can talk about the Golden At-Bat with him as well when we come back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I don't think I'd want a Hall of Fame vote, actually.
I'm kind of with you, man. I'm kind of with you.
Big responsibility.
We're not here to rain on Kyle's parade.
Exactly. I feel bad about our next guest just got his first ever too. Hall of Fame vote. But kind of think that's a responsibility I'm not ready for.
Same.
Maybe he is ready for it, though.
It sounds like he's very ready.
We'll talk with Kyle Glazier from Baseball America right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us right now is our friend Kyle Glazier from Baseball America. Saw it on social media yesterday. Got his first ever Hall of Fame ballots. I mean, this is a big responsibility, Kyle. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely one of those career goals I had for myself. I jumped on the Padres beat in 2015, and that was when I got my first BBWA card. And, you know, 10-year member, you get a Hall of Fame vote, and 2025 is year 10.
You also get a discount, like at Quiznos or anything?
The discount with that card?
Well, the discount with the BBWA card is I can walk into any Major League Baseball game, no questions asked. So think about it like free tickets. It's probably been worth hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of my career. I just can't pay my mortgage with that, sadly.
Yeah, unfortunately. And they're not willing to barter with you.
They frown on you selling it to other people. So,
you'd have to worry about Ben being like, I'll let you use my card, but I want that car.
Right.
Well, I hope to see from you a very, very emotional video like we did from Tom Verducci. Do you remember this one, Kyle?
Yeah, you got to remember he walks in to the empty. There's an empty chair.
Yes, empty chair.
Sits down.
Yeah,
the weight of history in your hands is heavy.
I need
even
this.
When it is but one sheet of paper.
I need this from you. I can't tell you how much I need it.
The Baseball Hall of Fame ballot is a triumph of minimalism. One page, no logos, no pictures. Received and returned
Kyle,
by mail.
I need it from you before your first one goes out. All right.
You know, Tom has a flair for the dramatic that I do not have. I tend to be a little more understated. You know, he's in suits and ties at games. I'm in button down and jeans. So I think I'll keep it a little more low key.
Well, so you get your ballot in the mail, and I, you know, we've had you on many times, talked to you many times over the years. It's one thing to, like I've said on the radio before, Ben's asked, so are you putting Woodsy, are you putting A-Rod in the Hall of Fame? Are you putting Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame? Are you putting Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame? My answer on the air for the last 7 years has always been unequivocally yes. I wonder how I would feel if I had that ballot sitting in front of me, if I could actually chalk those names in.
Yeah, so the way I think about it, and you know, it's important to me to be very diligent about it and thoughtful about it, is if there is documented evidence of performance-enhancing drug usage, not rumors, not whispers, but hard evidence, whether it's the Balco documents, the Biogenesis documents, the Mitchell report, a positive test, my inclination is not to vote for that player, just because, look, as much as there was rampant steroid use, there was also many, many, many other players who were not using. Yeah. And I think it was blatantly unfair to them and cheating, and I just don't believe in rewarding that.
Do you think that will change as time goes on? I mean, you're a new voter, and, yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, those guys won't get your vote. I think for a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr., if he goes on and has a Hall of Fame career for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, but will always have the suspension on his record, does that ever change for a guy in the future, in your opinion?
You know, I can't speak for the entire voting electorate and the ones to come. I just know that for me, it comes down to, you know, bigger questions and issues of fairness and, you know, and ethics, and ultimately it's doing a disservice to the players who did things, you know, quote unquote the right way and played clean, to reward those guys. But that's just my opinion. I can't speak for the entire voting body, present or future.
You know, I can respect that, Woods. It's his vote, and it should be, you know, his values and what he believes in. But because the threshold is so high to get in, 75%, as long as one out of every four voters thinks that way in the future, then none of those guys like A-Rod could ever get in, at least via the baseball writer's ballot. Because, Kyle, it is really a very high threshold. I mean, you think how hard it is to get any 3 out of 4 people to agree on anything in this world is very difficult to do. And it makes getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame really, really difficult.
No question. And look, there are other mechanisms. We have the Veterans Committee. So even players who don't get in, you know, their first 10 years through the Baseball Writers Association of America, they do have opportunities for, with the committees to come after. So we'll see. Again, opinions, you know, tend to change over time. Views on issues tend to change over time. That's true both in baseball and society as a whole. So yeah, we'll see. But that's just kind of where I stand, you know, today.
I love it. Talking to our pal Kyle Glazer from Baseball America. So switching gears, again, congratulations on the Hall of Fame vote. That's awesome. But let's talk a little bit of off-season. What are you hearing, if anything, about our beloved San Diego Padres? You know, Higgy off to Texas now, and I, you know, we've been debating it on and off air. I don't know that it's a money move. It could be. We just didn't want to give an older catcher, you know, a couple of years, but seemed like a need was there. What are you hearing about what AJ Preller and company are up to this offseason?
Yeah, priority number one is Roky Sasaki. When you look at the Padres' needs in the starting rotation, when you look at their budget situation, when you look at just, you know, the whole landscape of free agency, you know, Roky Sasaki fits everything they need in every way, including monetarily, because yep, he's going to be subject to the international bonus pool limits. Obviously, there's a desire to bring back Dierks and Profar, you know, shoring up some middle infield help, potentially defensively with Ha-Seong Kim leaving potentially in free agency. Those are the smaller things, but Sasaki is, you know, he's got the big target on him for the Padres, as well as most other teams in Major League Baseball. He's the guy.
Kyle, we talked earlier about, you know, Kyle Higashioka leaving. When you look at the Padres minor league system, obviously everyone talks about Ethan Salas, but he's only, you know, 18, going to be 19 years old, and it's hard to envision the Padres turning over the catching position to him in 2025. What about some of the other guys in the system? I mean, how likely is it that the Padres can find an internal solution, or are they going to have to go out and find another catcher?
They're going to have to go out and find another catcher. And just to be kind of transparent about it, the Padres farm system, in terms of guys who could help the team next year, there are some good arms in the system, some guys you could see coming up, eating some innings in a spot start, playing a nice role in the bullpen, maybe even giving them some meaningful innings as a number five starter if some injuries hit. Position player wise, there's just no one really ready in the minor leagues who you can see making a big impact in the majors. With that, you know, you think back to last year, Kyle Higashioka was a throw-in, essentially, yeah, in the Juan Soto trade. And prior to last year, had never really hit much, was just, you know, a solid defender backup type. And, but the Padres did a good job, you know, scouting as well as, you know, getting him in their system and working with him, the hitting coaches, and unlock something bigger. So it's going to be something like that, where they maybe go out, bring in a guy who's not a huge name or, you know, maybe known for defense, but maybe a lighter bat, and then help him get better, as we saw they did with Higashioka last year. I would expect it to be something more like that.
When you say, you know, there's no immediate position player help, is that an indictment on Eggy Rosario, your opinion there, or Tirso Ornelas, you know, who are two of the more, you know, close to major league, I would think, you know, available position players?
It's more Rosario projects to be an up-down utility man type. That's just kind of what he's always projected to be. And, you know, Tirso Ornelas, give him credit, has overcome some things in terms of his, you know, he had some issues with just, you know, general lack of bat speed and defense. He's done some work on his swing. He's done some work to just improve his all-around game and put himself in a position to reach the major leagues. Now, is he going to come up and be an impact player? Probably not. Again, he's really seen as someone who's more of a, again, up, down, you know, help you when you need type of guy, but not someone you expect to see in the starting lineup every day.
And one of the things, Kyle, that always impresses me about AJ Preller is that he always finds takers. You know, he finds takers, and he'll give probably one extra prospect that he needs to get the guy that he needs, but he always finds takers. So when, I guess it makes me a little nervous, in your opinion, you don't have to name names, but how many chips are down in the minors right now that you could see Preller flipping this offseason to get some major league ready talent? Other than, you know, Salas and DeVries, obviously, you'd have a lot of takers there.
Yeah, look, again, there's some interesting young arms. You know, Henry Baez is a guy who did some good things last year. You know, you have, obviously, you know, Ryan Burgert, who's got put on the 40-man roster. Those are some upper-level guys. And there's always, you know, guys in the lower level of the system who were, you know, international signees that are young and have some tools, and you can get something for. Now, it might not be the biggest, sexiest piece, but you think about, you know, trading Victor Acosta for Brandon Drury a few years ago, yeah, or, you know, Jason Rosario for Mitch Moreland, like stuff like that. So, I mean, you have guys that can get you maybe some complimentary pieces, but to get a big, big fish, you know, outside of DeVries and Salas, it would take a very, very skilled negotiation to get an impact player without giving up one of those guys, just looking at who, what other chips they have.
I just remembered Mitch Moreland was at San Diego Padre. Just now, when he said it, it just popped into my head. Those were some lean days.
They were
lean.
Talking to Kyle Glazer, formerly of Baseball America, now with MLB.com, but much too polite to correct me on the air. Thank you very much for that, Kyle. Your thoughts on our topic of the day, the golden... And the, you know, Rob Manfred's offhand comments about thinking about new rule changes, including letting a guy bat out of turn once per game.
Come on.
It's utterly silly. It's never going to come to pass. So, look, the thing that Major League Baseball has done the last few years in regards to rule changes is they float an idea to see what the reaction is, and or they'll test it. Typically, they would start in the Atlantic League, the independent league where, you know, most people don't care what happens, so they're willing to do some crazy things. And then if it's successful there, maybe they'll try it in the affiliated minors. And only if it's successful there do they ever bring it to the majors. And obviously we've seen the pitch clock come up. We've seen, you know, just some of the rule changes in terms of stolen bases going from the minors. But there's been a ton of stuff that hasn't made the cut. They moved the mound back in the Atlantic League. That got canned. You know, we've seen the ABS, the automated ball strike system, has not been good. It's probably going to end up being a challenge system if it comes to MLB. So this is something that if it ever happens, it would probably be in the Atlantic League, and I think it would die in about 2 seconds.
They should start rule changes in the NL Central where no one really cares that much. And if it works there, you can bring it to the NL West and the NL East where, you know, all the real teams that people care about are right now. Kyle, really appreciate it. Good luck with all the pondering. When's your vote due?
December 31st. Needs to be postmarked.
By the end of the year.
All right, question. How long, I'm looking at the ballot right now, how long do you think it's going to take you, realistically, to sit down and actually do it? Are you just going to go, like, gut reaction on these guys? Or I know you're going to think a lot about it, but you already know a lot about some of these guys right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are certain guys who, to me, are automatic yeses. You don't have to think too hard about it. And there's other guys, you know, I really want to kind of dive into. And, you know, I have my initial assumptions and thoughts, but just the way I'm wired, I always like to be diligent in my research and really think through problems and not just go off gut reactions. And there's also going to be some situations where I engage with former players to get their thoughts on some players on the ballot. And just, you know, again, it's important to me to always be as thorough and well-researched as possible before doing something publicly.
Is it weird that I would get it, and I love it too, and I would like, it's important to me as well, but I would do it in 5 minutes. I would do it in five.
You just
would
want it hanging over your head.
I don't want it hanging over my head. B, I would go, I'm going to trust my gut here. I'm a big gut guy, literally and figuratively. I mean,
we did rapid fire when the finalists were
We did the rapid fire.
I agree with Kyle. You need to be thorough and put in. But at the same time, your gut is important. You don't want to sit too much, Kyle, and override your gut because...
Will this keep you up at night?
Yeah, probably.
Will it keep you up at night?
No, again, yes. There's no question. You can fall into paralysis by analysis.
Yes.
But... in general, I definitely have my thoughts and opinions on certain guys. Let me put it this way. There's guys who absolutely, you see their names and you know, yes, no questions asked. There's other guys you look at and say, no, I know I don't need to spend a lot of time on that. And then there's some guys who are kind of on the cusp. And I think those are the guys where
you know, I
feel like I'm doing it a disservice and not taking the process seriously enough, if I'm not really giving those guys a hard look and putting in the work before making a decision.
Great call.
Well, if you come up with nine and you got one leftover vote, you know, our friend Adam Jones.
Oh, we love Adam Jones. AJ.
Just so he doesn't feel bad in the end. You know,
he needs to get one. Exactly. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks, congratulations, man.
Thank you, guys.
Kyle Glazer. The whole postmarked thing, it's kind of amazing that that still exists here in the year 2024.
What do you mean?
But he has to have it postmarked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By December 31st.
Should be on email.
You just have an app.
An app.
Here's your Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah, here's your login.
A survey. Yeah, all the time.
I just did our Odyssey company survey yesterday.
Well, I haven't done that yet. What did they ask?
The normal stuff. I was actually very kind.
You satisfied?
Yeah,
with your...
satisfied. What describes your culture or whatever? So I just did it. You haven't done it yet?
I have not done it yet.
It's bad culture.
Do you believe them when they say it's anonymous?
I don't believe them when they say it's anonymous. Either. They do say, oh, there's no way to track it.
BS.
Isn't there? Well, yes, it comes to your email. You know,
if the FBI wanted to know, they could figure it out.
Come on. I know they say it's anonymous. Let's be honest with each other. Do me the favor of not insulting my intelligence and telling me you're not tracking what I respond. Right? I know it. You know it. If you really wanted anonymous... you just put a stack of them in the break room, you fill it out, and put it in a box. But it comes through your email. They know exactly what you said and what you voted on, right?
There has to be a way that they wanted to look.
Get yours done. I don't want to be the only show with incomplete.
It's not due yet.
I did mine yesterday.
You guys, you haven't put enough thought into it. You need to take your time on these surveys.
You're going to forget. It's important.
Paulie's got some basketball news and more in our Rydell report coming up next.